Welcome back, Posh fans, to Up the Poshcast. Peterborough United lost 3-0 to Exeter down on the south coast. I was joined today by Ashley, John and Max. I'm Harry. Now, I hold my hands up. I was not at the game yesterday, but the other three were and had to endure that absolute shower. I asked them what they thought, went through the team. Where do we go from here? We moved on to also talking about the strategy, the other players that we've got in, what Fergie actually needs, and is there a disconnect between what he wants and what the people higher up the club want? And we also, towards the end, moved just onto prefacing the transfer window and also the EFL Trophy game against Leighton Orient. Now, on the transfer window, I want to advertise that we will be going live as a podcast at 5:50 p.m. on Monday night to take you through the end of deadline day. Please join us on YouTube for that. This episode is brought to you by Lux Elite Cleaning Services. They cover areas around Peterborough like Holbeach, Eye, Werrington, Glinton and Market Deeping. They use a water-fed pole system to get all the hard-to-reach windows and they use a state-of-the-art gutter vacuum to clean your gutters as well if you want. So please look up Lux Elite Cleaning Services for all your window and gutter cleaning needs. And with that, enjoy the episode. John, Exeter 3, Posh 0. It can't go on like this, can it?
It can. I mean, it's just been... And what more can we say at this point? Yesterday was a... So this could be quite an angry pod, I think. Yesterday was a 14-hour round trip for me. Even longer for Ash and Max, who are at the bottom of this screen. We're recording this before 8 a.m. the next morning, and it was another classic Peterborough United performance, wasn't it? It's now 41 points from our last 46 League One games. So that's a full season of relegation form. It's absolutely crap, and it's getting worse. And yesterday, look, first half was okay, I guess. Like, there wasn't that much in the performance, but we could have played for 500 minutes and not scored a goal. We barely threatened the goal. It's just so boring. The lack of quality is alarming. The tactics are crap. The players are crap. It's all just rubbish. It's genuinely depressing to watch. It's turning people off. I had multiple people that go every single week going, well, I'm looking forward to missing a Posh game. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing Huddersfield. I'm not doing Plymouth. You're turning off your regulars now. This has gone on too long. It has to stop. There has to be a change of ideas somewhere. I get that the players are, a lot of them are rubbish, but they have to be better than this. They don't even look like professional footballers, half of them at this point. It's just, it's embarrassing. We're talking to an Exeter steward and he's going, it must be depressing seeing what's happened to your team. Yeah, it is. It's really depressing. We were a really good League One side. We're now a really, really bad League One side. And everybody involved in this football club should be absolutely ashamed of what they're watching.
Yeah, John, you're right. And I think that a few weeks ago, it was very much for me, well, I'm accepting that they're probably not good enough. But yesterday, it didn't feel like they tried for me. There was no real... Well, that's maybe harsh on a couple of players. But for the large majority, it just didn't look like they could be bothered. Now, I discussed with Tobber and Kane, I think it was, on the way back, and we used the excuse that we've travelled down on the Friday and it's a long journey and the players stiffen up. But when teams like Plymouth and Exeter travel to us and travel up north and places like that, it's like nearly double the journey length and they don't seem to struggle with it. There's been countless times where these teams have travelled. They do it literally every other week. So the whole using it as a excuse because we've travelled a long way just doesn't sit right with me, and that they're tired and whatnot. There's clearly something wrong with our physio department in that we can't keep players injured for longer or fit for longer than 2 weeks, and then they're out for 2 months. It's just so disappointing that we just keep seeing the same players making the same bad decisions, or sometimes not even any decisions, because they just look so petrified of actually doing anything productive with the ball. There were some people that probably looked like they couldn't be bothered yesterday. There were players that looked like they were trying to drag the team over the line. But overall, it's a full day of my life wasted. And would I change it for anything? No, probably not. I'll still be there in Plymouth in 3 weeks' time. Like John said, I'm not going to watch Huddersfield because I'm going to watch England. And actually, I'm looking forward to watching us score a goal. That's sort of where we're at the moment. And it's just depressing. And Charlie put an article out last night about 2 days to save the season. I can't see anybody. Why would you want to come to Peterborough United now? We used to be the club that everybody wanted to come to. Why would you want to come to Peterborough United at the end of August and start of September?
Yeah, Darren's got a really hard sale, hasn't he? Trying to get players to come through the door now, because this is an absolutely abhorrent start to the season. I cannot believe that this is the way that we've fallen. I think it's 7 games overall now. We've crashed out the Carabao Cup to a League Two side. We've drew 1 game in our opening 6 league games. It's absolutely horrible. And I think to epitomise where the fans are, because it's deadline day on Monday, I ran a poll on the way home yesterday asking how many signings do we need to save our season? 1, 2, 3 or more, or signings won't save us. And signings won't save us won the poll. That's how hope, like the fan base right now is in tatters, because even if we go and get to attacking players, there's no creative build-up. There's no attacking fluidity. We don't work in transition. We can pass the ball around the back all we want. We can look good in midfield all we like. But if we look like we've never seen a goal before, when we get to the end of the pitch, we're not going to succeed. We're not going to win games of football. You know, you can draw all of 46 league games and still go down. If we can't score a goal, we're not going to win. And the start of the season shows that. I can't believe we've left the transfer business till the last 2 days. And really, we probably still need an overhaul. I think the only thing that I'm holding out hope on is we're still missing Bass, we're still missing Hughes, and we're still missing Woods. But even then, I don't know how they're going to bring goal threat. They might bring defensive stability, and Ben Woods might have a goal in him every now and then. But if we don't have a striker that can score at least 10 league goals, because I don't see Gustav doing that at all. I mean, yesterday he looked like he could have played another 90 and not scored. I just don't see where the goals are going to come from. And ultimately, that means we aren't going to win games, and we're just going to keep going on this rot.
And I'm sure we will get on to where goals might come from. And now, in the context of the news that Big Bad Brad will be leaving. But before we get there, Ashley, talk to me about the defence yesterday. Was there a chance that we could have got out of there with a 0-0 draw if it weren't for some pretty sloppy errors at the back?
The short answer is no. Peterborough United will never be the 0-0 team, and I just don't see how that changes. And I actually think that it was quite harsh on the defence yesterday to lose 3-0, and they probably didn't deserve that as such. And it was terrible defending from Abraham Odo for the first goal. He's literally let the man spin him and turn him. He's got absolutely no defensive shape about his body. Just genuinely shocking. Does not look like a professional footballer still. People say, well, you're so harsh on him. Well, how about, rather than eyeballing us whilst he's doing his little trot round a warm-up, instead, how about he pulls his finger out of his arse and watches a couple of videos on how to defend a player that's running towards him? Because he clearly doesn't know how, he doesn't watch how defenders run up to him and block him 99 times out of 100 when he's running towards them. So the defender gets spurned. They play a ball across the box and the ball's in the back of the net. Difficult one for the goalkeeper. It's coming in from, 8 to 10 yards away. And there's two players trying to block the shot. So that was harsh. And then the second two goals, what is Darren Ferguson doing? He changes the formation. We play 3 at the back. And then he leaves Carl Johnston at right centre-back against Josh McGuinness. Fantastic. Well, in the nicest way possible to Carl Johnston, yes, he's at fault for the 2 goals, but I actually think that I could probably score 2 headers against Carl Johnston, because all it takes is putting the ball up in the air. He's not big and physical. He's a great defender when the ball's on the floor, but as soon as it's up in the air, we saw it at Wigan. We've seen it yesterday twice against Exeter. That just sums it up. So actually, in large parts defensively, I don't think that the defence was too bad, but they need help. They need the pressure relieving. Peter United cannot defend for 90 minutes to play out for a 0-0. We've never been able to do that. If I remember back to like 10, 15 years ago, we went on like the longest run ever without a 0-0, and it was just always guaranteed to be a goal, whether we lost 1-0, 1-1-0. That's not going to happen. It's the attackers for me that need to start supporting their defence and relieving the pressure and actually putting a sustained amount of pressure like we saw at Wigan, like we saw against Bradford, on the defensive teams so that they're naturally retreating back towards their own goal rather than just constantly pressing on ours.
Yeah, it's a really tough job for this defence. What they're being asked to do, and this stems from Fergie, and yesterday, actually, I'm sure we'll talk about this more, but yesterday was the first time where I thought, yeah, we might need a change of manager here because this guy's lost the plot. The change to a five back and then leaving Carl Johnston on against Josh McGinnis is the just absolute pure stupidity. Anyone, a blind man can see that one of the best, or I don't know the best, but one of the most physical target men in the league, if you change to a free back, is going to peel onto Carl Johnston, who's 5 foot nothing, and win headers. Like, that doesn't take a rocket scientist. And then at 3-0 down, you decide to bring a Kagwai on. Well, the game's gone then, Fergie. Well done. Nice one. Really good idea, that. He brings Hayes on at the time when he goes to the 4-3-3 and then brings him on at wing back after like 2 minutes. This is not a manager that's thinking straight. It's a manager just bumbling around with no plan. I get that he's been hamstrung, but it's really painful to watch. And the manager killed his defence yesterday more than the defence killed the defence. And I actually think he's killing them with the instructions as well, because they're being asked to build up. But it keeps going back to, if you want to play really pretty patterns in your own defensive third, why are we signing players like Tom Leeds? Why are we signing David Akagwe? Why are we signing Carl Johnston? Because they can't do it. They can't play football. They've never played football in their careers. So why then do they come to Peterborough and you go, well, we've got to take goal kicks in our own area, split the centre-backs, try and build up? Because every team now just high-presses us and we can't build up because our striker's a child. So every time you go into him, he gets on his arse because he gets manhandled. You give the ball away that way. So they try and play short, but they're not good enough footballers to play short. So what is the plan here? Because I am not seeing one. And the defence, Harry, your question was, would we have kept a clean sheet with better defenders? I don't think we would, because they're constantly under pressure. They're constantly having to defend. If you look at it individually, like Kyoso, I didn't think was great, but he wasn't terrible. Johnston, yeah, lost two headers to a 6'3" absolute lamppost. I can't have a go at him for that. Leeds did okay in isolation. I thought he looked a bit slow and a bit cumbersome, but I didn't think he was terrible. Nevitt, I was really worried for after the booking really early on. I thought he was in real big trouble, but actually I thought he coped relatively well. And then, yeah, Harley Mills wasn't great when he came on. But what more can you say? Like, what they're being asked to do, they're not capable of doing. So the manager needs to change it. In my opinion, two of the goals were completely on Darren Ferguson. And really, those two of the goals, I don't think we would have scored anyway, but a better plan might have kept us in the game for a bit longer.
Yeah, just briefly, I want to revisit the first goal and just talk about the sheer defensive ineptness of Abraham Odo. I cannot understand. At any level of football, and I've played Sunday League, and that's about as far as I've gone. At any level of football, if a winger or a wide player is running out wide or taking the ball towards the corner flag, or there is no way you charge bullheaded straight into the winger and then get spun and give the wide player that much time to drive into the box. I mean, he had a good 3 seconds to pick a pass out. I don't know where Johnston was. I don't know why he didn't close down the man. But that is besides the point, because the winger should never have been there. In fact, I don't even think Johnston was expecting the winger to be there, because there is simply no way he should have ever got round Odo. He should have just stood still. And Ferguson, in his interview, it's not doing the basics, but we're 7 games in now. We can't use the "we don't do the basics" excuse. The basics have to be done. And if you're not standing your wide player up and delaying to give the defence time, because as John's just said, the defence is under pressure at all times. And that first goal was a prime reason as to why our defence is under pressure, because our players are not doing the correct things to stop the ball. I'm no tactical genius, but I can see it from where I'm standing that you just stand and wait. You just wait for the winger to make a decision. And then you try and tackle him and delay. But even if they get round him, your defence has made some sort of a shape or a structure that they have a better chance of not getting a low ball coming into the box to hit first time, because they're not sliding in. Two players slid in to try and block it. They're not doing that if they've got more time. They can get round to mark the man back towards goal. Instead, they're sliding in desperately because it's happened so fast, because it's effortless. And that is completely inexcusable. That's how we've conceded.
Yeah, it's really tough, isn't it? Because every single week it's the same talk about Abraham Odoh, that he just simply does not do what we need him to do at League One. And I'm sure that in League Two he'll be fantastic, but we're not there yet. The player that I actually would like to single out, and John briefly mentioned it earlier, is George Nevitt, because we've been to Exeter before. We've watched Posh players get booked. We've watched them stay on the pitch and then get sent off. And after 8 minutes for George Nevitt to have been booked, I was smelling disaster, if I'm being completely honest. It was very much we're 15 minutes into the game now. He's probably got one more tackle. Let's take him off after 15 minutes because he's going to be bullied for the rest of the game. But actually, despite conceding three goals, which I'm not sure that he was at fault for any of them, he actually performed really well and has shown now for three games on the bounce, maybe even four games on the bounce, that actually there probably is a little bit of a talent in there. I was concerned when we started both Lees and Nevitt because there's just absolutely no pace in that centre-back pairing. They didn't really break through us. I think it was Wareham, the striker. He looked like he could move a shift a little bit, but he didn't really test them like with running in behind. And McGuinness is just a big, strong, physical lad, isn't he? We've seen it. He gets Nevitt booked 8 minutes in. He scores two goals off the back of Johnston. But for me, I actually thought that Nevitt was quite strong, if you can say that, after conceding three goals. And I wasn't disappointed. And I'm happy that he's clearly learning from Lees. He's clearly learning from probably talking to Sam Hughes about the game. And I just think that's sort of where we're at with sort of our defences, that we've just got so much learning to do. And even CJ's trying to learn being a left back. Kiyosa's trying to learn what his teammates are doing. And you've got to be disappointed for him. He's probably thinking, oh my God, what the hell have I signed myself up for this season coming to Posh? It probably sounded like a great idea, and spending 2 weeks on the phone to DMAT was good. But I'd imagine he's probably regretting after watching that yesterday and being part of that performance.
All right. So, interesting on the defence. Midfield, sounds like there were some patterns, similar story to what we've had all season, really. It's not that the midfielders are incapable of passing. It's just a lack of ability to turn it into something in the final third. I saw your ratings, guys. Looks like Garbutt had a good game. Just, John, talk me through the midfield. What did you think?
Well, it was quite painful to watch because Matty Garbutt looks an absolute player. The first 45 minutes, he was genuinely the best performance I've seen from a Posh player in probably since Wembley. He was genuine. He looked miles better than anything I've seen all season. My worry already is he is thinking, what the hell am I doing here? Get me out of here. Where's the contract? Do I get a calling off period? Because you could genuinely see him getting frustrated with his teammates within half an hour, because there were so many times where he would drive forward, give it out to a winger, and Lisby would trip over, or Odoh would trip over. There was a really good example of when, I think it was about 35 minutes, Garbutt gets it, drives forward, gives it to Odoh. We're on the counter-attack. Garbutt's making a driving run past the defence. And Odoh does his usual thing where he kicks it down the line in no direction and gives it straight away. And Garbutt just turned to him and went, what are you doing? And I was like, yeah, join the club. It's taken you half an hour to work out who the idiot in this team is. So, that was painful to watch. But actually, I also thought it was pretty painful to watch Garbutt against Archie Collins, because Collins was always our best midfielder and Collins doesn't want to sign a contract. And fair enough, I probably wouldn't want to stay at Peterborough if I had Collins' level of ability. But Collins should watch Garbutt's performance today and think, actually, maybe I'm not as good as I think I am, because if clubs are watching them two play, I tell you who they're signing, and it's not Archie Collins. The other one is obviously Keller. I like Keller. I think he puts in a lot of effort, but he had a real trampoline touch yesterday, and that's two games running now where he's not looked very good. And again, we're trying to play really pretty football. Can Brandon Keller do it? Can Brandon Keller play the football that Fergie wants, or is he a box-to-box runner? Because clearly he's got great energy, but we're not really using that because we pass it around in our final third all the time. So, sorry, in our own half all the time. I mean, what's the point in having legs when you're moving the ball at 2 mile an hour between your two centre halves and Nevitt's kicking it to Leeds? Because we're not really amplifying his qualities. So, yeah, it was just, if Garbutt keeps playing like that, that is the one positive. But I am already concerned that he is going to get really frustrated playing with this rabble.
Yeah, I think the important thing with Keller is that despite maybe not putting in the level of performance that he wants, he doesn't shy away from doing his job and he still tries it. We've watched many a player disappear when things haven't been going their way. And he is not doing that. He's always there. He's always present. He's happy to still try things. And I think that that's probably where we're at as a team, is that we need a bit of good fortune. I think that's probably the first and foremost, but you've got to make your own luck in this side at the moment. And is Brandon Keller going to be that man that makes the point? I'm not entirely sure. It's going to be interesting when Woods comes back, because again, we've got five, I would say, good midfielders, including Lolos and Woods in those three that we've got that were playing yesterday. There's clearly going to have to be some rotation, and there's clearly probably going to have to be a formation change depending on who we can get in the next sort of 36 hours now. So I think that Keller needs a rest, and I said it in the preseason show, is that we really shouldn't be putting the pressure on this guy to be the game changer. But he wants that. He probably wants that pressure on himself. But I think he needs, like Dornelli and Mills have had in the past, he just needs a little bit of time just to take a step back and not feel the demand of a relegation battle at this time of the season. What, we're not even in September yet, are we?
Yeah, it's interesting, really, especially talking about Keller there. I think that Keller, for me, has sort of the same level of pressure than someone like Nevitt has, where I think in an ideal world, Keller would not be playing this many games. We'd have a midfielder that would play in front of him and he'd come in and rotate and he'd learn from the other midfielders. And that's what we want, right? Keller's been brought in on a five-year project, 4+1. Or a five-year deal. He's been brought in for a project. He's not meant to come in and hit the ground running. I mean, I think he played 20 games for Bradford last season and that was it. You know, he's not somebody that is going to come in and set the world alight. And I think we all knew that. And although, having said that, I had given him my player of the season, but actually watching him now, it's very clear to see sort of the project that Keller has, and there's ability there. I really do believe there's ability there. But when Woods is back, I don't think we're going to see him feature as much. I don't see Collins going. And if he does, I think we'll replace and get another midfielder. I think Collins will be the last, as Harry's mentioned a few times, the last of the running down of contract group. I think he'll be the last of that. So that, again, that's something that not necessarily I want to look forward to, but if we've got Collins, Woods and Garbutt as a midfield three, I think that's a really good compact midfield three. And even if you've only got that for one season, at least we can plan for the following one.
Okay. And then, I mean, you guys have already prefaced it a little bit, but the inability for us to create chances, it's thematic. I note that the one time we looked pretty good this season was when Frith came on against Bradford and started getting some purchase down that wing. I appreciate there's been flashes from other players, but what's it going to take, do you guys think? I mean, actually, is it really just a striker and a winger, or do you think it's more than that that's needed to turn this around?
I actually think that this all goes back to Fergie, and I think that there needs to be like we've said many a time in this episode now, there needs to be a change in system and a change in plan. I'm clambering on to the smallest bit of hope that Gustav can start scoring goals, but he needs a friend. He needs somebody up there to help him because he can't do the battling. He simply cannot do it himself. He's got nothing. And we saw it once yesterday, got the run through, and I don't want to bang the DMAC drum, but DMAC said it is that a confident striker takes one touch and then takes a shot. Is that I think that these players are afraid to shoot at the moment through fear of missing the target. But what I think I would like them all to remember, especially if they do listen, is that we went 2.5 seasons watching Ricky J. Jones play up front, and that man could not finish his dinner. So that's what we need to do. We need to start taking the shots and taking them quickly so that teams don't have the chance to set. I'd love to see just a 4-4-2/4-2-4 so that Gustav's got somebody up with him to do the dirty work, but we haven't got that player in the squad, have we? And what I'd also like to see is Lisby actually playing on the left wing. He's not a right winger, he's a left winger. I know that we'd say we can play across all three positions across the front three, but his best stuff has been on the left wing for me. And if that means dropping Abraham Odo, well, you're not going to have any qualms from anybody on this podcast, are you?
Odo. Let's talk the attack then. How many more stinkers, how many more absolutely abhorrent performances can he put in before we take the shirt off him? He's not fit to wear the shirt. I don't say that lightly. He is the worst winger we have ever played consistently. He is not fit to wear a Peterborough United shirt. It is painful watching him. He had one moment yesterday where he got one-on-one with a fullback and ran at him, and he tripped over the ball. And actually, it went to Collins in the first half. But it was a complete accident that it got there. And you just watch him, and you're just like, what do you do? He's taken a barrage of criticism from the fans now as well. It's not just me. It's widely felt. You look on social media, and he's just getting battered. And you're like, don't you want to respond? Don't is there not part of you that's embarrassed by the performances? I know you're probably not very good, but do you not want to try? Is there nothing in you, Abraham, that's given you any motivation to, you know, get out of bed in the morning? Because he just saunters around the pitch like he's bloody Cristiano Ronaldo when he's not. He's useless. And the other one, man, Ash, he said, I'm harbouring hope that Lingren's going to come good. Can we just not? Let's not do this. The guy, man. Initially it was, he just needs to adapt to English football. Then it was, oh, all we need to do is find some passes because he makes really good runs and then he'll come good. Now it's, he can't play one up front because he needs a second. Please, I'm begging you. These players, this is exactly what got us into trouble. They're having faith in these just terrible footballers. Giving them too much time is what got us into this position in the first place. He needs to be shipped off to Sweden before the next 2 days are up. He will never come good in English football. The guy can't stand on his feet when a centre-back's behind him. Like, what are we doing here? He had one shot where, I mean, he gets in behind. Here we go. Here's a prime example of what we're getting from Gustav Lindgren. He got found with a pass yesterday. He slipped in behind a defender. He doesn't even get a shot off. He does not get a shot off. Like, I literally don't see any redeeming qualities in him. Kamara came on, and Kamara wasn't great, but at least he can hold the ball up because he's quite big. It's embarrassing watching Odo and Lindgren, and so many of our attacking problems. I think I don't like the system anyway. I think the striker's too isolated, and I think it relies too much on moments of individual brilliance from wingers because basically you're just asking them to get 1v1 and beat the fullback. But so many of our attacking problems would be solved if we just ditched Odo and Lindgren for two better quality players. Like the chance Lindgren got yesterday is the exact chance that Motherseal scored last season. Almost exactly the same, where he rolled it in at Exeter at the far post. If we swapped Lindgren and Odo out for even Ricky and Motherseal, I don't think we lose that game yesterday. And it's really, really painful to watch them both play football. I keep saying it week after week. I don't know how many more examples Fergie needs before he just takes them out of the team and plays somebody else. I know we don't have a wealth of options, but just anybody else at this point. Changunda, Bolo, I don't care who it is. Just not those two.
I think we did see yesterday why. Well, I say we did see yesterday. I think we saw a moment in isolation as to why we probably signed Gustav, because that the way he sort of shrugged the defender off and ran in behind was actually quite clever. And that run he has been trying to make all season, and that run was picked out yesterday. The problem is that when you get into that position, I don't care if the angle's tight. As a striker, your nose has got to be going. Like, you've got to be smelling the goal, and you've got to just put your foot through it. Like, it doesn't matter where it goes. It doesn't matter if you blast it 20 million yards over the thing. You cannot do what you did and run to the goalkeeper and just stop. It was baffling for me. The other winger I want to talk about, obviously, is Lisby. And I think, again, Lisby is very similar to Brandon Keller and George Neves in probably in a different universe. He doesn't play as many games. But I think he's actually looked probably one of our most threatening when he starts. I think he has looked good over the past few games. And yesterday wasn't much different. I think it was a below average game for him. But I think he was killed by being switched sides. I couldn't understand why we'd done that. I don't know why Oddo switched with Lisby. It made no sense. But I think that killed Lisby's game for him, because they clearly had a better defence on that side. And that's something to me where the differences between Lisby and Oddo is Lisby is a touchline winger. And for this system, John and I sort of spoke about it the other week, where Carl Johnson is not an overlapping right back. And even Chiozzo probably didn't bomb as forward as much as he's used to. But I think that's a fitness problem more than anything. But the wingers are fine standing 10 yards from the touchline like Oddo does, or standing closer into the pitch like Oddo does, if he's got the fullback overlapping to create the width. The problem is we're too narrow. We're allowing players to pack in and stop balls and stop our passage of play, because our wingers aren't, well, Lisby is a touchline winger through and through. He will stand on the touchline. And if you look at his heat map from yesterday, you will see the majority of the game, he's picked the ball up on the touchline and he drives forward. If you look at Oddo's, he's 10, 15 yards from the touchline inside, and he wants to take the ball 3 yards forward to pass it back to the fullback to recycle the play. Sometimes just a forward pass would be nice. We saw that yesterday from Lisby. At least he's got like the balls to go and try and do something, to try and get something out of it, to try and grab a game by the scruff of the neck. And I don't think he's good enough to do that yet, because he's got all the talent. It's just too raw. But that will come eventually in time. You know, I'm talking maybe one or two seasons. We never signed him for now, but we've got no choice. We've got no choice. We've got nobody else that can play there.
Just to sum up how bad we are going forward now, and this has never been a problem for Peterborough teams or Darren Ferguson's sides before. We've had problems conceding goals under Fergie pretty regularly, but never attacking wise. And at the minute, just as an example of why things need to change, no team in the Football League is averaging fewer shots on target per game than Peterborough United. No team in the entire Football League is averaging fewer shots on game than Peterborough on goal than Peterborough United. Just to repeat that is a damning stat, and that is something that if we don't change, what's the point? This is just so boring.
Yeah, which does probably fill in quite nicely with the next stat. Charlie asked the question late last night, and Lol just pulled the stats together. This is now the first time in the DMACC era that Peterborough United have gone the whole of August without winning a competitive game of football. I don't think that there is anything more telling than that, in that even when we were in the Championship and we only played three Championship games, we still managed to beat Southend 4-0, I think it was, in the League Cup. We are well and truly muddied, and it is clear to see that change is needed.
Was there anything positive from the subs yesterday? A few of them had quite a big run out coming on in the 55th minute.
I think the problem is that we've brought subs on to make an impact, haven't we? And they just haven't. And that's the key thing. Is against Bradford, the subs won us, well, didn't even win us the game. I don't know why I've even said that, because It seems impossible that we can win at the moment, but the subs came on, changed the game, and we got a point. The subs came on in the 55th minute yesterday, and there was no attacking change. There was no, we look much better. There was no, we're going to go and dominate this game and grab it by the scruff of the neck and try and give the fans that have travelled so far something. There was none of that. And I think a lot of that came down to system. I didn't think Lolas played that badly when he came on. I felt he was at least trying when he got in the box to have those touch-type passes and do almost what Matt Garbutt was doing in the first half, where he'd get the ball, take one touch, and he'd try and turn and play it out wide. And that was something I enjoyed. The very little enjoyment that I got from that game was sort of watching him try and spray out different wings, pick the ball up, try and do something with it, which was nice. The problem was then is that the subs that came on then made no sense, because we're playing a back three with Carl Johnston. Hayes has been brought on as a winger for no more than 3 minutes before going to wing back. And then McGuinness has just bullied Johnston twice and two excellently guided headers. But the problem is there was no competition, so they were basically free. And you can't give a player with that experience an ability to have two free headers on goal. Don't think Reyes could have really done anything more for either two of them, but the subs had no impact. None of them did. I mean, even I've just talked a very small about the praise about Lolas. Even he had no impact going forward and getting a goal. And that's what separates us from even a place above us in the table, is that they have some sort of attacking cognizance and we don't have any. And even bringing subs on, I mean, I saw at least two tweets yesterday saying that bench would not look out of place in National League. And the quality that we're bringing off is just not there. So I don't know. I couldn't, in my ratings, I couldn't give the substitutes anything more than a five, really, because ultimately they've been brought on to change the game and they haven't.
Yeah, Max, you made the point well. And I think that it's probably worth reiterating is that there's simply no point making subs if you're then going to change the system 3 minutes, 5 minutes later. You may as well have just stuck with the players that are on the pitch, because you go 55 minutes playing one way and then all of a sudden, well, we're just going to completely rip up the Peterborough United rule book because it's not worked. And actually, with it, we're then going more defensive. I know that we call it a three at the back, but it's not a three at the back. It's a five at the back. And then we then concede two goals whilst we've got five at the back, because Harley Mills can't get forwards. Kieran Hayes can't get far enough forwards from right wing back to help the team and pull them forwards. You've got Lisby up top, who we saw at Accrington is clearly not a striker that is going to help Gustav. Lolas comes on, and I met next. She said that he wasn't great, but I didn't see anything yesterday. And then it's what, another 10, 15 minutes later that we've conceded two goals and another two goals. And then it's too late. We're 3-0 down. You're then bringing on a Kapoe who got tossed around by somebody half his size and looked like a clown again. You're bringing on David Kamara, who's been injured for however long, and it's not his fault. It just all comes down to, it's just not fair on all of these young players anymore. Like, we bring in the experience. We were told by DMAT, well, we'll be a different animal when all these players come in. Well, Garbutt played yesterday. Leeds played yesterday. Kyoso played yesterday. And yes, they're maybe not all good enough for 90 minutes or fit enough for 90 minutes, but they didn't make a difference on the game. They made absolutely no impact at all. The players are clearly bickering between themselves now. They're not ready to take the responsibility. And I think that actually the most frustrating thing, and one thing that I'm absolutely sick to death of, is this decision to swap ends. And that's a Peterborough United decision to swap ends, because it gives you absolutely nothing in the second half of games. I mocked Brad last week for trying to be a cheerleader when he should have just been focusing on doing his job. Actually, yesterday, maybe when we were winning a couple of corners, it might have been nice for those players to have been in front of the fans so that we could have given them that little bit, that extra 1%, that extra 2% that thinks, okay, well, this team is behind me. Because when there's only 300 posh fans who have all made that ridiculous trip yesterday, we can't give them the energy that they need when they're down the far end of the pitch. You can't push them forward. You can't help them. You can't help keep the goal out of the net. I know that there's certain things of, well, we don't want to be attacking their big end, or we might get a goal in the first half, but it never looks like we're going to score a goal. We saw the impact that shooting towards the London Road end had last week, basically sort of pulling the goal into the net and helping the team for the whole of the second half until we got it in the 91st minute. the decision to switch ends, I'm fed up of it. It completely ruins any sort of momentum that you feel like you might be able to gather in the second half. And it's ultimately got to stop, because it's just not fun anymore watching Peterborough United, especially when they're all the way down the other end of the pitch not doing anything.
And look, I guess we've got to give them credit. They did win 3-0, all three goals from crosses, two of them high, one of them low. Anything else to comment on the Exeter performance itself, John?
Yeah, they were okay. I mean, they looked far more coherent than us. They looked far more of a threat than us, which is, again, a damning indictment on where we are. McGuinness scored twice for the first time since 2021 against this defence. I don't know how old he is now, but clearly it's not great, is it, when he's 3 years older than he was in 2021 and he wasn't exactly a prolific scorer then. So, look, Exeter were okay. They were good at what they did. I thought they pressed us well. I thought tactically they set up well. They knew our weaknesses, but that doesn't take a genius to think, oh, if you high press this Peterborough United defence, they'll probably give you the ball back. Their defenders just manhandled Lindgren, both their centre backs. He didn't really get any change out of them. They looked well organised. They looked well drilled. I don't think we made them do very much to beat us, but we say that every week. So it's hard to ever say, "Core, they looked amazing," because they don't have to play amazing to get 3 points against us. But yeah, I mean, if they play like that for the rest of the season, I think that's a 4-1 win and a 3-0 win they've had at home now. And they were amongst the relegation favourites and they've scored 7 goals in 2 games. It's better than us, isn't it?
I'm totally with you. And I just think, how easy is it? Like we spoke to Brad on Friday night, the Exeter fan, and he said, well, we're rubbish. And I had some positivity, and then we got absolutely spanked by a team that their fans think is rubbish. And that just sums it up. I just think, how easy is it being an Exeter defender when you're basically playing against like 2.25 players for 90 minutes? That's what it comes down to. We just didn't challenge them, and they were robust. They did their jobs. They all knew what they wanted to do. There was the lad with the long blonde hair. He looked like he was everywhere on the pitch. It was just a good performance from Exeter. They didn't do anything outside the ordinary, but they've got the 3 points, haven't they? And we can't bash them for that.
John, I've got to ask the question, is Fergie under pressure here at all, in your view?
Yes, I think sadly he is. I think if you're still Fergie in at this point, I can totally understand it, but 41 points in 46 games is now a full season of League One football where he would have got us relegated. In my opinion, at Peterborough United, that is a sackable offence. Thankfully, obviously, we got enough points over the first 6 games of last season, or however many it was, to keep us up. But for me, the most concerning thing with Fergie is he doesn't seem to see any of this coming. Like, I went back last night when I got in and I was looking at some of the stuff that he was saying in pre-season, and it was, we're sick of the criticism. Well, if you look at social media, apparently we're in a relegation fight. Yeah, Darren, apparently we are in a relegation fight. It looks very much like we are now, doesn't it? So all these lines that were coming out of pre-season and things like that, not just from Fergie, Dara too. Dara's on his pod saying, well, we pay no attention to pre-season because it's just a fitness exercise. That's what Barry Fry's always told me. Well, maybe Barry Fry's talking rubbish again, because maybe you should have paid some attention to what was going on in pre-season. And it's just this muddled up thinking right through the club that's really annoying me now, because we come into the season, Brad's on the transfer list. Right, he's going. Oh, no, now he's our number 9. Oh, no, now 2 days before the transfer window finishes, he's going again. We come into the season, Donny starts for the first 3 games. He's a different animal in pre-season. Now where is he? Ryan de Havilland comes off the bench at Cardiff. Where's he now? What happened in the first 2 weeks of the season that didn't happen in all of last season? Why didn't you see this coming? This is what I don't understand. What needed to happen for you to see this coming? Now we're panicking. We're going to spend £1 million on a striker and things like this. But now Fergie's talking about changing his system again. So you've recruited 6 midfielders for a 4-3-3. But now, oh, the system doesn't work. I think I might go to 2 up front. What? You say trust the process, right? That's the line that comes out of the club. Trust the process. What is the process? You've lost the process. The process is gone. I'm sick of it. And this muddled up thinking, if there was a philosophy, if there was a coherence in the plan, I'd kind of get behind it, but there isn't. We're losing every week. We're looking terrible. We can't even have a shot, let alone a win. At what point does Fergie come under pressure? Because I get what he's done in the past. It's brilliant. Best manager we've ever had at Peterborough. But the last year and a half have been an absolute shambles from top to bottom. And I'm getting frustrated now because I don't see a manager with a plan. I see a manager guessing his way through matches to try and get us back on track.
I have never... Sorry, John. I've never agreed with this when it comes to Fergie. This idea that because we've lost a game where we've looked crap, or a few games where we've looked crap, that he doesn't have a plan. So Fergie, I accept, has a singular view of how to play football, which, although when he came to the club 20 years ago, was a diamond and now is very much a 4-2-3-1, built around progressive, slow tempo build-up, ending in usually wing play and a striker there to finish it, right? That has never changed. And I accept that it means that often when we don't have the players to do it, we don't look very good. But I don't think that means there isn't a plan. And this is why I am Fergie in, is because tinkering with the personnel in the door will, I think, have massive impacts eventually on how well we play. And just one more thing quickly, I'm sure you want to come back on this, John, is that even in the seasons where we've looked really good, there's been the odd game where we've looked pants. It doesn't mean the manager doesn't have a plan, just because occasionally you can't see it because it just doesn't work out on the day. I know it's a hard sell of an argument when the form we're in right now, but I do stand by it.
No, I get what you're saying in terms of the fundamental philosophy of Ferguson's football will never change. It is progressive build-up from the back. I'm not arguing with that, but you started in playing a 4-2-3-1. We're not playing that formation this season. We're playing a 4-3-3, Harry. It's not... Why are we recruiting? You talk about, you know, building from the back, and I keep going back to this. Okay, if that's your plan, if that's what you want to do, why are you recruiting Tom Leeds? Why are you recruiting David Akagwe? Why are you recruiting Kyle Johnston? Why are you recruiting maybe even Brad? Let's talk. Because these players aren't fundamentally designed to play that kind of football, right? Would you disagree with that, Harry?
I do agree with that. I wonder, and I don't know if someone else has a view on this, whether all of these are Fergie's players this season. And this has possibly been a summer maybe that's been, of all of them, the most disjointed between what owner and director of football level want and what the manager needs. Don't know if any of you have a view on that.
Yeah, just quickly, Harry, I think what you said is true, right? I do think that some of this is Dara as well, but what I'm saying, this is my point. Like, I don't know who to blame because I can't see it, but I can't see the plan. It's not aligned at the top level. This is my point. And I don't know if it's Fergie. I don't know if it's Dara. I don't know who it is. Barry Fry, for instance, or David Ball, who we're now recruiting players from. Who to blame for this? But it's clear that whatever the plan is not aligned. There's a disconnect somewhere, right? That's basically my point. And I get that sacking a manager 2 days before the transfer window ends isn't exactly conducive or a smart strategy, because a lot of these players you've brought in have seemingly spoken to Fergie. But they say they've got a veto. They've all say they've got a veto on signings. That's the line we've heard. I don't know why he hasn't used it. This is my point, right? I guess condensed down, it's I'm not seeing a plan at the top. And I do think Fergie has to take some blame for that, because you can't go, oh, it's all Dara or it's all Fergie. Dara needs to take some blame as well. I'm certainly not advocating him from blame with this either. So all three of them need to look at it. It's too late now. We've got 2 days left, but they need to come up with, okay, this is what we're recruiting for. This is how we want to play football. And these are my signings. It can't go on like this. It can't.
You know what? I think it's very clear to see actually that Fergie doesn't have a great deal to say in the transfers, because he didn't know that we were getting Bass. That was a surprise to him. That's your number one goalkeeper. I think that there's a chance that DMAT turned around to Fergie and said, well, hang on a minute, you've completely clotheslined us with Brad and ever getting any money for him with your comments at the end of the season telling him that he's never going to play for the club again. So you need to integrate him back in and just sort of say, well, come the end of the window, it didn't work. It didn't quite work. And then, John, maybe you're a little bit harsh on David Ball there. He's given us our only good player at the moment. You know, I think he could probably actually take some credit if he's the one that has offered us to him. But I don't see how Fergie is picking these players. Like you said multiple times, John, there's no way that Fergie is signing off these players and going, yeah, I tell you what, they're really going to fit well in this system and the style of football that we do. And do we want to hold on to players that we're keeping? Like, we've got, what, 10 players now that need to go out the door? Where are they going to go? They're not good enough for League One. They don't want to drop down to the National League to reset their careers. We're just going to have a load of people dead weight sat around not doing anything.
Can I just say one more thing on this topic? Because we've heard from Fergie a lot now, and I was going back through some of his old interviews before, again, last night, before we did this pod. And after MK Dons in pre-season, he said, it didn't look like one of my teams. It then got to Cardiff, and he said, we're better than that. We're better than that performance. Yesterday, again, he repeated that line, we're better than that performance. He needs to wait. If he's going to stay, he needs to wake up and smell the coffee. I don't see how anyone can disagree with this, because it's got to the point now where we are not better than that. We've seen it for such a long time. We are not better than that performance. So please, let's stop falsifying what we're witnessing in on the pitch, because every single Peterborough United fan can see at the minute we are not better than that performance. And it's up to him, if he stays, to make sure we are better than that performance. And he can say that line if we lose 3-0 in March. And actually, it is a different performance, because what we've been witnessing is that it does look like a Darren Ferguson team at the minute.
Yeah, it's hard, purely because of what Fergie's done in the past, to now look at this side and go, well, do we need a change? Do we need some fresh ideas? And I think both sides of the fence is valid. Should Fergie stay? Should Fergie go? I don't know which side of the fence I'm on. I like to sit on it. I think I will sit on the fence for a bit longer. But what I will say is that there's probably, we could make some signings to save our season here. And if the links are true, I am begging that we get the striker in Leonard and the winger in Archer to come and play for this team. And Dara and Barry Fry have got some serious haggling to do, not only with the clubs, but with the players as well, to try and persuade them to come and join us, because we are so desperate for both of those players to come and ultimately help save our season.
Now, we're recording this episode at 8:45 a.m. on the Sunday after Exeter. By the time this goes out on Monday morning, there could have already been movement in the transfer market, in or out, for Posh. However, at 5:50 p.m. on Monday, live, you will have Up the Poshcast taking you through transfer deadline day to the close of the window. I think it's going to be fireworks. I think there's going to be at least two in and two out, if I had to guess. And I think I'm hoping there'll be way more out than that. But we shall see.
I tell you what, the only way I'm going to be happy is if we get 10 out the door and all that dead wood goes, including some of them that played yesterday. I'm going to reel them off. Let's have it. Otto, Donny O'Brien Brady, Con Clark, De Havilland, Oscar Wallin. Don't forget him. He's gallivanting on holiday in Sweden at the moment. Two goalkeepers, Bielo and Blackmore. Anyone else? Maybe it's not quite 10. That's 7 or 8, I think. But they've all got to go, haven't they? Yeah, oh, Wakeling as well. People are telling me in the comments.
Gustav.
No, I am giving Gustav another chance with a partner. But I'm going to say quickly, I can't get excited over a player that's not played football for 18 months. If we sign him, he's got a broken back. Like, well, what's he going to do for us? We're spending seven figures on a player that...
There is a real chance, Ashley, that this episode goes out after we've already signed him and you're then stuck in this box on the internet saying, I can't be excited about this.
Watch me. I'll quote tweet the release saying, how can we get behind a broken man? I am a broken man at this point.
Ash, don't worry about it. Both our strikers at the minute play football like they've got a broken back, so we'll fit in nicely.
Oh, goodness. Right. Are we there? Any other business?
Yeah, we're there, Harry. End it.
We play Leyton Orient at home in the EFL Trophy on Tuesday as well. I'm sure there'll be some rotation. Honestly, how do you even preface an EFL Trophy game? Any of you going?
I will be there no matter what. And I think there's a real chance that we see David Kamara start. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see him given a longer time on the pitch. I think there's a chance that we probably see Bolu play as well, actually. I think I'd actually at this point quite like to see them both playing together alongside each other and bring in Changunda, bring in Mendonca. Obviously, we're not going to have Akagbu and the goalkeeper, so we may see Bastian Smith play as well. Yeah, Joe Andrews. Just literally play the kids. We are not going to win this back-to-back-to-back this year. There is simply no chance. So get knocked out in the group stage for once and just literally focus on trying to get 45 points in the league. That is all that matters. The Virtue Trophy does not matter, regardless of what. And do you know what? Going back around to last season, this is the fact that we're hiding behind a Virtue Trophy is why we're in this position that we are now. Last season was categorically not a successful season. Winning the Virtue Trophy does not mean that you've had a good 10 months. You've basically had a good 7 games. That's why we're in this problem, is that we've hidden behind a Virtue Trophy. And if Fergie and DMAT both think that winning a Virtue Trophy is the peak of Peterborough United, then we really are in trouble.
And you know what, Ashley? Should we do some score predictions for the Leyton Orient game? Should we give it its... Because it will be in the next level Barbell Club Predictions League. Every game is. But this is on the spot. I'm going to go with a penalty loss after a 1-1 draw, and I will have David Kamara to score Posh's goal.
Everyone moaned when we were doing silly predictions, but I actually don't think this is silly. 5-0 Leyton Orient.
Well, that's me out as well, because that was what I was going to say. And that's the point, isn't it? Is that I used to predict a 5-0 Posh win most weeks last week. Now I'm predicting a 5-0 loss. And actually, it's not that far-fetched, is it? Yeah, I'm going to put myself down for a 5-0 loss as well. I've got no confidence in this team to turn it around. There's going to be, 1,000 people there on Tuesday night. It's going to be absolutely rotten.
I will be more positive than John and Ashley, and I will go with a 3-0 loss to Leyton Orient. So we're not gonna concede 2 extra goals, but we will hold 3.
Yeah, brilliant. The rest of the podcast host scores will be on screen now. Sorry for those listening audio only. If you want to see all of them, I'm sure we'll put them out on Twitter. We're there. Thank you, everyone. And as always, up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
You can go back to bed now, Max.
We need a trailer.